Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Sam Tolley with Trusting the Truth. And today I have a simple question. What about Jesus? As of the recording of this video podcast, this is the Thursday before Good Friday. We're in the holiest season of Christianity. Now, many people, unfortunately, they think that Christmas it's the best time or the holiest time because it's a celebratory time. People have all the presents and they have the lights and they have all the family gatherings and all that sort of stuff. And that's, I don't have an issue with that. That's fine. But the significance of Jesus is about what he came and did, not about when he came. And when we're in the resurrection season, when we're talking about Good Friday coming up tomorrow, we're talking about the day that he went to the cross, that when he endured the stripes that ripped his flesh open, the mocking, the tearing up his clothes, the spitting on him. We're not just talking about a man. We're talking about the man God or the God man who took on the sins of the world for those that didn't decide to retain them to themselves. We're talking about someone that is even I cannot adequately describe. I mean, think about this. The creator of the universe, the omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing creator, that before he decided to create man, he knew that he would have to redeem man. And I can't put my head around that. I don't try too hard because my head would explode. Because Sam Tolley, I'm not creating you if I know you're going to be an idiot and I got to come and let you, the people that I created, torture me, kill me, so I can save you. That shows you the human side of Sam Tolley. But the divine, the God of the universe, who decided to take on flesh, did just that. And we are entering that time of year. We are entering that season where he did exactly that. Endured the cross for all of us, for everyone. Unfortunately, there are many of us that didn't accept his propitiation, his sacrifice, his blood that he ran. They are going to die in their sins. And that's unfortunate. But as a Christian, our job is to stand up and tell the world. But unfortunately, here in the United States, we have adopted what I would like to call some kind of microwave Christianity. It requires no cost, and it's all benefits. There's no requirement, but it's all rewards. You know, it's almost like the name and claim it thing. You go, you know, you can go to a church or you can sit in your home and you can say a prayer, Lord Jesus, save me. Amen. I'm saved. Boom. I'm good to go. And there's nothing else that I need to do. Yes, Jesus will take you as you are. But true Christianity, true discipleship, true relationship with the God-man will not leave you the way you were. Because if it left you exactly the way you were, what do you need him for? You know, I was going to just talk about some of the things, the problems we have in our society, particularly from the political end. And oh, yes, we get people that think, well, you shouldn't mix religion and politics. But those people are not thinking, because religion and politics govern every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our lives are in one way or another intertwined in either what God said or what government says and does. And if we're smart, and particularly if we believe in the God of the Bible, our theology will govern our politics and our government actions. But in many cases, people allow their government actions to govern their theology. And this is where we have a great problem. And this is where I have an enormous problem with people, especially those that are in the Democrat Party. Excuse me. I was just thinking, I had a friend that I've known for like 25 years. I met this gentleman. Excuse me, I want a cough drop. Throat get a little dry. I met this gentleman in church over 25 years ago. I met him as a fellow disciple of Jesus Christ. This wasn't somebody I brought to the church. He was already, matter of fact, he was, I believe, a deacon in this church when I met him. And we got to be good friends over the years. At least I thought. But during this last election cycle, he told me that he wasn't going to have anything else to do with me because of who I voted for. Now, for those who don't know, I voted for Trump. I voted for him 3 times. I'm not ashamed of it. It is what it is. And I know he didn't vote for Trump, but just because he didn't vote for the person that I voted for, I wasn't going to disown him as a friend. I would not disown anyone as a friend. How can you reach someone if you won't communicate with him? I tried to talk to him afterwards. I hadn't done anything to him on a personal level to offend him. But just because of my political position, this person would not vote for, wouldn't have anything to do with me. And I thought it was remarkable. It was remarkably sad. You know, but unfortunately, there are people like that in this society. If anything, we're called to reach the lost. We're called, you know, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, you are the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I set those in reverse order. Nevertheless, what he should have done was to let his light shine in my life. He should have communicated with me. And if he saw that I was having issues that needed to be addressed or should be counseled or discipled, he should have offered to discuss it with me. But he wouldn't. I found many folks from a Democrat persuasion that refused to do the exact same thing. Matter of fact, I've asked on social media, I've asked publicly people, privately, to come on my podcast and give me reasons from a biblical perspective why I should vote for Democrats. Give me a biblical reason. Now, when I ask a question like that, the automatic response I'll get from somebody is, well, give me a biblical reason why you should vote for a Republican. And I'll tell you what my reasoning is. My reasoning isn't about voting for Democrats or Republicans. Since I said earlier that religion and politics or government are going to govern every aspect of your life, I think it's stupid to not engage in the political sphere. So my personal preference is I will try to associate and work with whatever group is closer to a biblical worldview than the other. If come tomorrow, the Democrat Party all of a sudden was more biblical and it wasn't a facade, more biblical straight up and down the line than the Republican Party, I would no longer associate with the Republican Party. I would associate with the Democrat Party. Or if there was some other political party that's position is more biblical, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. It isn't an allegiance to any governmental entity. It's not an allegiance to Donald Trump, as people like to say. It's an allegiance to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. My guidebook is the Word of God. But since I live here on earth, I have to operate within the political sphere of my local community, of my state, and of my federal government. Therefore, if I'm going to try to operate as best possibly in a biblical mindset and try to be an encouragement of some kind of degree to the culture, then I need to operate with those that are closer to a biblical worldview. And as it stands right now, it's not even close. It's not even close. Excuse me. You know, I'm looking at some of the things that the Republican and Democrat Party differ in. You know, the Democrat Party, I remember when the feminists, particularly before Bill Clinton's Monica Lewinsky issue, all the feminists were all out there. You know, we got to do this and let's break the glass ceiling and let's do this and women's rights and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And then when Monica Lewinsky's situation happened, I didn't hear anything from those people. They were all quiet. And that makes you wonder, what happened to those folks? Why didn't they say something? Or why aren't they saying something? But that didn't bother me half as much as what's going on now. When this transgenderism, and I say unequivocally, the transgenderism is demonic. And that's my perspective, because God created them male and female. He created them in his image. There is nothing in God's image that is distorted. There is nothing in God's image that is needs changing, except for, you know, things that happen because of the fall. But if you're born with all your bodily functions or bodily apparatus conducive with your biological reality, that's what you're supposed to be. Simply put, if you're born male, you got testes and a penis. If you're a woman or born female, you have ovaries, a vagina, a uterus, and you have mammary glands that are going to extend when you grow out. That is normal. But when you start disfiguring your body, when you start cutting off the breasts of women or children, when you start castrating boys and creating an artificial vagina. And by the way, for those folks with the artificial vaginas, they have to wear an insert. They have to keep some kind of thing lodged within them because their body's trying to heal itself and close that hole. When you do that to yourself, you have disrupted the order that God put in place. But the Democrats are all for that. The Democrats in my home state, my former home state of California, they've made it so that if you bring children there and one parent doesn't want this child to be mutilated, but the other one does, that they will let you do it. Now, let me say this. I think, it's beyond thinking. I believe without any doubt, if you manipulate your body other than what God created it to be, is sinful, destructive, and evil. However, if you're an adult and you want to do some stuff like that, excuse me, oh well, that's up to you. You can live with the consequences. But they're doing this stuff to children. To children. They say that the human mind isn't mature until it's 25 years old. And we're talking about castrating little boys and making them girls, giving them puberty blockers and shooting them up with estrogen. This stuff is barbaric and it's evil. And they also want us to accept a lie. The Bible tells us not to. You know, you can go back to the Ten Commandments. You know, that's one of the commandments, and you're not supposed to accept lies. Or we can go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." The emphasis, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So Christians, Bible-believing servants of the living God, have not only no business in mutilating themselves, they have no business even participating in the lie. I think there was a law that they made in New York City or New York State years ago, where that if some man identified as a woman was misgendered, meaning that you can see this dude's a dude, but you in this business refuse to call him a man or a woman, they could fine that business like $25,000. I think that was businesses only. But here you are, mandating public participation and somebody else's delusion. And they do this all over the place. When I was still working, a memo came out that if a man decided to wear a dress where you're working, or vice versa, whatever, we're not supposed to say anything. Now, I was good with not saying anything, you know. But I know what I think, you know. And fortunately, during my work time, I never had to witness that. But here I'm watching recently in the UK. In the UK, where a woman was standing on the sidewalk outside of an abortion facility, quiet, not speaking out loud, got arrested because the police walked up to her and asked her if she was praying. She told the truth. Yes, I was praying silently to myself about the unborn babies. Well, she broke the law. Now we have the thought police. Not only that, though, that law extends to the fact that if you live in the vicinity of an abortion facility and somebody walked by your house and see you through a window praying, and they believe that you're praying against this, you can be arrested for that too. And if my information is correct, the UK is trying to get to the point where if people in another country is saying stuff like I'm saying right now, and they visit the UK, they're going to try to prosecute you. Now, this, it hasn't gotten that crazy in the United States. It has in Canada to a degree where you can't speak on the streets about certain biblical things. But see, I'm saying is because the Democrat Party will not uphold the value of the Bible. They like to say, oh, yeah, we don't care about you being Christian. We believe in Christianity. Many of my Democrat Christian friends, they say they believe in Christianity, but they keep supporting people that are totally against Christianity. Just like I was talking about the girls, they won't protect girls in sports. I'm hearing this stuff about Trump is suing Maine, withholding money from them. And these people are upset and in a tizzy because they want to continue to allow boys to compete against girls and beat them in everything. And that goes back to this feminist thing I was talking about. These people were always talking about women's rights and women are being second class citizen and women this and women that. And now where you got men going around saying, identifying as women, these folks say nothing. Now, to their credit, Martina Navratilova, from what I understand, was standing up for women. From what I understand, the woman that created the Harry Potter series was standing up for women. And if my information is correct, both of them have been catching hell because they're talking about biological reality and the fact that girls are being trounced over. It's like, what happened to the women in this country? And what happened to the men that are Democrats and call themselves Christians? How can you stand up for lies? How can you not speak against this stuff? I don't understand it. How can you allow the destruction of children? And I'm thinking that many of these folks are not saying nothing because it ain't their kid. And they got to go along with their team no matter what. Ah, man. You know, I was looking at my Bible when I was thinking about this stuff. And the fact, you know, I had some friends say they're Christians. But I remember when President Trump was president back in 17, they refused to call him president. They called him 45. You know, I saw a TV clip the other day where this quote unquote black pastor was talking about Trump got three baby mamas and he can't even, he couldn't, you know, he's got 34 felony convictions and he couldn't even fill out an application for a McDonald's or this, that, and the other. And I'm listening to this stuff and I'm thinking several things. Number one, Trump could buy the McDonald's if he wanted one. He don't have to fill out an application. You know? And the felony conviction things is a joke all in and of its own self, but I'm not going to even get into that thing. But one of the things that I notice about these people, there is absolutely no forgiveness in any of them. They are stuck on eviscerating, condemning Trump. They, you know, when I've seen video where I remember when Trump said that he didn't need any forgiveness years ago. But I've seen maturity. I've seen where he said it was only the grace of God that he's alive. That God spared him to do certain stuff. That he recognized the sovereignty of the Almighty. That he's asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. These preachers never talk about stuff like that. There is absolutely no forgiveness in them. In Matthew, you know, chapter 6, you know, in what they call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer. Verse 4:10 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses." These so-called preachers are always preaching this hate of Trump. Never forgiveness. Never giving him any kind of grace whatsoever. And what's interesting, whereas Trump in his first term and even now is trying to save as many of the unborn as possible, these people, these so-called ministers of the gospel, these folks that right now are getting ready to have Good Friday services and resurrection morning services, wanted us to vote for a woman that was saying that she would make a constitutional amendment or sign an amendment for abortion throughout the land. The sacrificing of babies in the womb is no less than Moloch or Baal sacrifice. That's what these so-called ministers of the gospel. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that we have folks like that. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 7, you know, the one where they love to quote verse 1, "Judge not that ye not be judged, for what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you melt, it shall be measured to you." Satan loves to give folks that verse, but he never have them read the entire chapter. If you have it, you should. But I'm gonna skip down to verse 13, where it says, "Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will go therein." Wide is the gate of destruction, because the straight gate and the narrow way which leadeth to life, and few there will find it. So the Bible said few people will go into the narrow gate. Many will go into the wide gate. I mean, that should make you think. So you got this demonic thing going around that everybody's saved, that God is a God of love, and nobody's going to hell. And the Bible, right there, Jesus is saying that few are going into the narrow gate, and many are going into the wide gate. Now, he is the one that's going to be sitting at the white throne judgment. He is the one that paid the cost. He is the one that's going to judge those of us that are saved. And the Bible says that God is not a man that he could lie. So Jesus is not lying. So we need to pay attention. Now, also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father." That cancels out microwave Christianity, where, oh, you know, Lord Jesus, save me. Okay, I'm saved now. I'm good to go. No. Are you doing God's will? Are you purposing your life to serve him? Him who you're going, many that only go to church once a year on Easter Sunday for some reason. Because, you know, I can show up that day. That day is important. And by the way, when I say go to church, I'm talking about gathering of the church. We're all going to a building. Those of us that are disciples of Jesus Christ are the church. Okay? But I'm not trying to get too technical. Many were saying that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, devils, and in thy name did many wonderful works. People love to talk about all the good stuff they did. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work lawlessness. So you think that you could sit around, do a bunch of evil stuff, support things that God is against, and think that God is going to honor that? Are you kidding me? You're fooling yourself. God, the God of the Bible, makes the rules. We don't make the rules. He makes the rules. We need to pay attention to him. And that's why, you know, it blows my mind when I'm trying to deal with folks, particularly the Democrat Party, and they claim to be Christians. And I try to get them, you know, they're Trump. I said, wait a minute, forget about Trump. Let's talk about Jesus. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What does Jesus expect from us? You say that you are a Christian, but you're more focused on hating Trump than you are on doing the will of God. And then you let all this evil go unabated. This thing about this illegal alien gangster. The Democrats are fighting, trying to get back into the United States. Why? Have you ever been downtown LA? You go about 3 miles east of the Civic Center and you will see a third world jungle. People not just living in tents, but in cardboard boxes on the sidewalk. American citizens with no home, many of them out of their mind because of drugs or mental illness, and many just flat out down on their luck. The Bible says that if you don't take care of your own home, first, you're worse than an infidel. And I don't see these Christians, whether there's these so-called pastors, I call them gatekeepers and vermin, or just the average so-called Christian, saying a thing about these folks. But when Biden brought over millions of illegals and all this taxpayer money to take care of them, they're okay with it. They're not thinking straight. We need to take care of our people first. And as the body of Christ, we need to stand up for righteousness. I'm all for helping people, but I'm not for making my family suffer before I help somebody else. And as an American citizen, we need to think along those terms as American suffering. But the Democrat Party, they didn't care. And, you know, as a Black American, I ask them folks this all the time. We've been following the Democrat Party since the 60s, exclusively almost. And you go back and look at any economic information, Black folks have been at the bottom of the socioeconomic level, period, following the Democrat Party. This DEI or DIE or whatever the hell it is, it didn't help people. The only thing that's going to help you is to make up your mind that you don't need government to help you, that you need government to get out your way, that you need to take care of yourself. I think it was Ronald Reagan that said something like the 9 worst words or something that you could hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. The government ain't here to help you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's benefits to the government. There's things that the government can help you with. But the America, the United States is a land of opportunity if you take it. I remember growing up and people were talking about, oh, these foreigners come here and they get that, and they get, you know why? Because they haven't been indoctrinated with this mentality that the white man's holding me down. But many black folks in the Democrat Party have that mentality. The white man's holding them down, but they depend on the white man to lift them up. The same person that is holding them down is who they depend on to lift them up. I say if the white man's holding you down, get out from under him. But in many cases, it's the black man is holding himself down. He's holding himself down because he got this ghetto poverty mentality that somebody owes him something, where the only thing anybody owes you is the freedom to succeed or fail on your own initiative. That's all. That's it. And the Democrat Party, that's another thing I got a problem with the school system. And I try to ask people this all the time. These schools are failing. The public school education system is garbage. But the Democrat Party, who is, I think, one of the number one contributors of the teachers union, and the teachers union, they want to block the ability of parents to get the money to educate their children the way they see fit. They don't care if you got money and you can go to put your child in a private school. But why should you spend money to put your child in a private school and your taxes are going to a public school that you can't use? Let the parent have the ability to move the money where their child is, whether it's homeschooling or whether it's private. And in many cases, these homeschoolers are better because, like I said earlier, many of these schools are now nothing more than institutions of debauchery, indoctrination, and propaganda, turning whatever biblical worldview our children have into a demonic, communist, godless mentality, and destroying their sexual organs at the same time. It will seem to me that if something is not working, you would want to fix it. Why do people are determined to continue to waste their lives, their children's lives, on stuff that don't work? If it ain't working, get out from under it. Let's see what else I have here. Racial division. You know, I seen that story recently about the young black man that killed the young white kid, stabbed him in the heart. I can't do those stories. They break my heart for all kinds of reasons. You know, it's just like when I see the police and some black guy gets killed for doing something stupid. And I can see the news media. I can see, oh, he's got it. We got it. You know, we can drum up the hate. We don't need to drum up the hate. You know, I'm not going to get into the mess. We need to stop the hate. We need to treat each other with civility and decency. You know, I remember when Obama was president and supposedly he was going to make life better for everybody and he was going to bring us together. And he brought more division than we had, and it's been divisive ever since. And the news media is constantly run with it, and they demonize Trump when he tried to help black folks. And many of these folks that are still running with the Democrat Party, the demonic, godless hating of their fellow man Democrat Party, are just riding along with that. And as much as I disliked Obama and his politics, I saw an opportunity for him to do some good. And he didn't take it. And that was during, I don't know if it was a midterm election or what, but I believe it was in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, where these Black Panthers were intimidating white folks going to the polls. And I was thinking to myself, now what Obama could do, he could have these folks arrested and he can make a speech and tell folks, you know, I am not going to tolerate this kind of stuff on my watch because my people went through a whole lot of this in the South. Of course, it was because of Democrats. And since my people had to go through this stuff, I am not going to tolerate it for anybody else. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't prosecute those folks. Him and Eric Holder just went on about their business. Let these people, whatever. And I said, this guy is evil, which I already figured he was evil, but these people like to keep racial tension going. And when you keep racial tension going, you keep people from getting together. And if you keep them from getting together, you divide and conquer, which helps exasperate the population, which helps crumble society and helps keep those that can benefit from that criminal society and power. And those that benefit the corrupt media, the elite politics, they don't want us to get together as a people. They need that division to keep them in a place where they can say that we're here to help you and we're going to fight against all this stuff while they're ginning up the fire the whole time. And unfortunately, we have too many people that are too stupid, too naive, or too gullible to see what's going on. They don't want us to be one as a nation. And as Christians, the only color we should see is the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, you're going to see the pigmentation of people, but it doesn't matter. Jesus' sacrifice supersedes everything. But he didn't die for us to do nothing. He died for us to be light and salt, to represent him, to stand for righteousness, honesty, and truth. And we need to do it in the face of any and everyone and not be intimidated by people that want to say, you're a traitor to, you know, they don't even say that crap to me no more. I say, fine, let's come on a podcast and say it. Tell the world where I'm wrong. I invite you. From a biblical perspective, I want them to do it. If you can defend your position biblically, I welcome it. Let's see. You know, because to me, the only color that matters is the blood of Jesus. That's it. In the end, there's going to be eternity. This is what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about the long game, not this short period of time on earth. The long game. You're going to spend eternity in one or two places. You're going to spend eternity with the Lord or without him. And for those folks that got this weird, unbiblical ideology that, we're just supposed to be what they call loving and ecumenical and get along with everybody. I want to give you another scripture. In Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 34, Jesus said, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth." Isn't that something? Talking about the first time, he said, "I didn't come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. The fact of it is, folks, there are many people, just like I read earlier, Lord, Lord, you know, he said, I never knew you. This is not a time to play games. When we look at tomorrow, where Jesus went to the cross and sacrificed himself for the world, he didn't sacrifice himself for you to do nothing. He didn't sacrifice himself so you could just say, okay, Lord, save me. Good, I'm saved. No. He sacrificed himself to pay the cost that you couldn't pay. I couldn't pay. But as I also often say also, salvation is free, but it may cost you everything. And the first thing it's going to cost you is your identity, because your identity belongs to Christ. And if your identity belongs to Christ, he becomes the most important person in your life, bar none. He said it himself. Just read it. And if he is not the most important person, then whoever that person is more important is your God. And that's whom you need to rely on for eternity. So all this stuff I was talking about, this transgenderism stuff, this killing babies in the womb stuff, this teaching our children debauchery stuff, all that stuff is things that are antithetical to God. And we should be standing up against it. I never asked people to become a Republican. I asked them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to stand against evil. You're supposed to. I mean, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Expose them. Remember we said in Matthew, you're supposed to be the light of the world. But if you're sitting around acknowledging or not saying anything, when you see evil and voting for folks that you know are going to continue to promote evil, things that are antithetical to God, you got a problem calling yourself a Christian. Well, you can call yourself anything you want. You know, that doesn't make you what you're calling yourself. But it's better to be on the right side of the ledger now than to wonder about being on it later. You know, it's like, what is more important? Your hatred of Trump? Which you really shouldn't have. You shouldn't be hating anybody. Just like my friend that won't even talk to me no more. Well, I thought he was my friend because I voted for Trump. What you should be doing is thinking about, Lord, how can I magnify and glorify you? How can I lift you up? How can I show people the cross? What am I to do, Lord, to glorify the name of Jesus? That's what you should be doing if you're a Christian. Just like me. Lord, if I'm wrong, steer me right. Keep me on the narrow path. That doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. But my goal is to serve him until I go to him or he comes back to me. And that's what all of us are supposed to do if we're Christians, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ. This other nonsense, what these charlatans are doing, just spewing hate, no forgiveness, no allegiance to Jesus Christ, and telling us to support those who support things that God condemns, that's nothing less than the work of the devil. You got to make a decision, folks. Playing church is not an option. It's stupid. You know, I'm going to close with this. I remember when I was in the world many years ago, and I used to like to drink that Slits in the bottle. And they had that commercial. You only go around life once, so give it all the gusto you have. And I would say that don't play church. If you want to be in the street, do it. You know, give it all the gusto you got, because there's a place waiting for you when you get through with that. But if you are living for the living Christ, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, then do it. Everything. All to Jesus or nothing at all. That's what I say. Think about it. All to Jesus or nothing at all. This is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.